Without God's presence, you can't do nothing. I don't care how much word you read. I don't care how many classes you go to or how many degrees you got. Without God's presence, we're wimps. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Without the presence of God, you're just throwing seeds at the devil. Thy worship is the major weapon. You can't be the sword of the Spirit without the presence of God. And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to prevent people from assembling. Oh, he brings every excuse possible. I got a toe ache. My nose was itchy, you know. Every kind of thing possible. Oh, I have to work to seek more money. Anyways. Yeah, I think you get the point. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time to be alive. I mean, we're watching the hand of God move. I mean, it's exciting. You don't know what thing is going to be God's going to do the next day. It's just overwhelming. We are what we call it I'm going to call it maxed out. Everyone say maxed out. You know, when people get maxed out, they finally surrender. Man, I'm maxed out. It's where they say, I can't take it anymore. What's happening right now is there is a collision. There's a collision course. I've shared some of this before already. What we're watching is a collision course. The spiritual realm and the physical are colliding. Light and darkness is colliding. Righteousness and wickedness is colliding. There's a lot of stuff colliding right now. What you and I are feeling much of it is the after effects of their collisions. There's ripple effects going on. We're watching volcanoes erupt. We're watching weather manifest. All kinds of things are colliding. It's called birth pangs. So we're in the birth pangs right now. And because of that, there's a great, great collision. So you and I must be prepared and not get overwhelmed, pushed off the cliff, not get set back. You know, people misunderstand when the word says we are a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. That's not a one-time event. That is continuously every single day. That means you got to fight, you got to battle, because you got to get rid of old and get the new. Old things are passing away. Didn't say old things passed away completely, as you noticed. That'd be really nice, wouldn't it? We'd be home then. We wouldn't even get a Bible study. We wouldn't need nothing. So there's the process in this, because God is moving us into a place where he's training us, preparing us, killing us, so we become more and more in his image, in his likeness, in his character. We become more compassionate for the things of God, but we become more bold. More bold. There's too many wimps out there. There has to be more boldness out there. Why? To drive out powers of darkness. So there's this collision that we're in right now. It's a collision course, and we're calling it maxed out. Again, when you get maxed out, you finally surrender. In fact, sometimes you finally do whatever it takes because you're maxed out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. Are you refreshed and not refleshed? Good. Let's speak it together. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. Who love him. You know, he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Amen. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So how can you get it if you're not filled with the Spirit? How many of y'all know that the Spirit, in other words, because you and I are battling darkness, we're hard-pressed on every side, that the presence of God, it's like it gets worn on us. We get weary. So we have to be refreshed. We have to be like an ever-ready battery, you know, where it's slapping hands and everything. We get weary. It begins to slow down. because we get drained. Once you leave this room after getting in God's presence, the enemy begins to drain you. And if you allow him to drain you to a place where you compromise, where you begin to complain, maybe you get maxed out, and you need God's presence again. But again, there's the opportunity to get filled, filled, and filled. That's why worship is so vital. It is vital. And for me and you, it's one of the major weapons. It's allowing us to overcome the darkness, overcome despair and weariness. It says, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So without being filled with the Spirit, you ain't going to get the things of deep things of God. And without getting the deep things of God, you're not going to have revelation. And without revelation, you're going to cast off the restraints that hold back your flesh and hold back the enemy. Does everybody get it? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. There's a lot of people think they know the things of God, but without being filled with the Spirit of God, they're not going to know it. They can read about God and never know him. It's like getting a letter and never meeting the person. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Do you know the things that have been freely given to you? You know, many people say, I'm not worthy of it. I remember seeing something on TV, and this priest stood up and said, I took a vow of poverty. I thought, what an idiot. Take a vow of poverty? How stupid can you be and still breathe? We're supposed to be blessed and highly favored. I didn't take a vow of poverty. I did that when I was an addict. I became impoverished. I didn't need to take a vow to do that. It was a volunteer, but I didn't want it. I became a beggar, from a rich man to a beggar. Then I became rich as could be when I met Jesus. The richness of his presence, the richness of his love. And to know my identity of who I am, not who I want to be, not what the world tells me to be. You know, so many people are caught up in trying to find their identity. The way they dress, whatever they do, the designer, whatever they're doing and whatever, looking in the mirror, they're allowing the world to tell them who they are instead of God telling them who they are. You know, that's the first thing the devil comes to steal is your identity. So many people have lost it and not realizing that they have or compromised it. In verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Your carnal self cannot comprehend the things of God. And it will buck you, refuse you, kick and scream. Your flesh hates God's presence. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Can you spiritually discern things without being filled with the Spirit of God? Heck no. That's all you can use is carnal common sense, which I haven't seen the Democratic Party use yet. Hallelujah. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, because your relationship with the Lord is the most important thing to you. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean you won't sin. It doesn't mean you ain't going to do something stupid. But what you're going to do quickly is repent. Because you want to maintain a relationship. Not long distance, close. Too many believers have long distance relationships. And not a close one. Because when you have a close relationship with the Lord, things are totally different. You put him before you. You let him guide you and lead you. You wait for the unction. You don't always have to hear a voice of God. There is a leading of the Spirit through unctions, a guiding. Sometimes he's silent, but he speaks to us through events or circumstances, doors that he opens and doors that he shuts. Your communication is vital to him. He waits for you to communicate with him every day. Lord, good morning. Please, I will ask the Holy Spirit to help me pray, because I don't want to pray carnally. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I want to pray what God wants me to pray. Amen. So the deep things of God can only be known by his Spirit through the offsprings of his Spirit. So only his offsprings of the Spirit are going to know the deep things of God. The rest of the world will not. Amen. Hebrews 12:25. God is causing the maxed out. The maxed out. He's causing evil to reach its maximum and righteousness to reach its maximum. In verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the what? Heavens, and the physical and spiritual is colliding because he's shaking it all. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Be remained. So you're going to go through shaking it. Amen? Like salt and pepper shaking. God's going to tip you upside down and shake you. It's going to get all the change. It'll be a tithe offering. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Again, a collision course of righteousness and wickedness, light and darkness, spiritual and physical. It's happening. We're in it. We're watching it happen. Matthew 11. Things are getting maxed out. Hallelujah. Like Maxine Water. She's maxed out, that girl. She's a senator or congressman or congresswoman. She's maxed out. Poor girl. She definitely needs some help. Matthew 11, verse 7. You know, people that are living in a place of maxed out, many of them are living in a false reality. They don't even know they're maxed out. They're living a survival life, not a submissive life. Why? Because they themselves are on a collision course. They're bouncing off of everything. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, 7. Let's speak it together. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least is in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by what? They take it by what? 4. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has an ear, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, there's a collision going on. There's a collision of time. There's a collision of kingdoms. Again, there's a collision of light. Light is overconquering darkness. There's something that people sometimes don't understand, that love conquers lust. Love conquers lust. Truth conquers deception. Life conquers death. These are the collisions that are happening. Remember, we talked about things are becoming new. So there's a removal of old and new. Old and new. There's always a tearing as we're battling every single day. And it's the collisions and things that are going on around us and in us and through us. We're a part of these things. Things are getting maxed out. It's almost like a volcano ready to explode. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, not your own. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm going to say that again. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And this is where too many people are caught up in the physical and not in the spirit. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You are not fighting what you see, you're fighting what you don't see. But when you're filled in the Spirit, you see. You have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to follow when you're filled with the Spirit of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We are warfaring against the Nephilim race of hybrids, demons, shapeshifters, modern-day pharaohs, dressing up as humans. They are offsprings of Satan. Does everybody understand that? But so many people don't grab hold of this. They still look in too much physically and not spiritually. Our warfare is against the Nephilim race, and it's been going on for thousands of years. They've advanced in technology. They've advanced in being able to reproduce by cloning and putting demons in cloned bodies. These are things that are not fairy tales. This is happening. They hold positions in government. Look, at anyone that promotes death of an unborn child has got a demon. I mean, let's be real. And everyone that promotes the area of same-sex marriage has got a demon. Everyone that promotes molestation of children has got a demon. Selling of humans has got a demon. These people are not human. They are either demon-possessed, yielding their bodies to a demon, controlled by principalities and strong men. And it must be broke. And the only ones that are going to break these off of these areas is the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ's responsibility to take the sword of the Spirit, Holy Ghost bazooka, and shoot these principalities and pull them down to the pit. That's our responsibility. Amen? Psalm 18:31. Remember, Lucifer was a fallen angel. He was a praise and worship leader for God of the universe. He knows how to draw people into his presence and deceive them by his music. We were all deceived by the music at one time. Hardcore rock and rollers, worshipers of Satan. But thank God he rescued us. I don't care if it was country, rock and roll, wherever. If it wasn't exalting Jesus, it was exalting the devil. One or the other. But he doesn't come out and tell you, hello, I'm the devil and I'm going to attack you today. Hello, this is my music and I want you to know it. Of course, they did a few of them with, you know, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. Guess my name. Hello. I don't know if not some of you know that song or not. But his name was Satan Lucifer. Guess my name. Hallelujah. Psalm 18:31, let's speak it. Are we there? Hallelujah. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except for our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Are you pursuing your enemies? You got to overtake them. Whatever you struggle with, don't struggle with it. Attack it. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. Don't wimp out. Woman up and man up. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You also have given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save. Even the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt into the what? Into the streets. Snap. He pursued his enemies. And this is where people are not pursuing their enemies. They're letting their enemies manipulate them in the mind. You know, think about what happens as soon as you begin to sneeze. The first thought that comes, I got something. We all have a worse first at first. But we overcome by because the mind of Christ begins to kick in. You know, you might feel a slap in the back of the head by the Holy Ghost or a kick in the butt. Come on, man. You know better than that. You know, I all of a sudden I had a cramp in my leg or something. I forgot what it was. And I thought, maybe I could take something. And I said, no, wait a minute. No. Loose me right now in the name of Jesus. I decree in the name of Jesus that by his stripes I'm healed, that he who's in me is greater than he who's in the world, that I'm more than I conquer. See, we've got to pull the sword out to cut the powers of darkness off. If you don't pull the sword out, you know, the aspirins and NyQuil and all that other stuff ain't going to help you quickly. I mean, I take all this stuff, ivermectin and everything else, which helps, but without prayer. Prayer anoints the product. Does everybody get it? It anoints the product. When I take vitamins, I ask the Lord, anoint these vitamins to bring health and rejuvenation to this temple. And a few other things. Hallelujah. Yeah. Psalm 58, verse 9. Before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, and as in his as living and burning wrath. Let the righteous shall what? Rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God for who judges in the earth. Again, this is a reward for righteous. This is a reward for those who pursue their enemies. It's pretty crazy. We're not going to get our feet washed in blood of the wicked. We don't need to. Thank God. But this is a reward for being righteous and those who are pursuers and fighters. We should be third dimensional warriors. Psalm 149. This is so profound, this psalm. And the first scripture tells you right off the bat. First verse. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a what? A new song. As his praise, and his praise in the what? Assembly of the saints. So what's he saying? Gather together and worship him. You're going to see the end result. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise him with a dance. Woohoo! Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud on the beds where you're not in bed anymore. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. For what? To execute vengeance on the nation and punishments on the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Again, here we are. Here's the reward. Execute vengeance, his written judgments. We are the executioners of against wicked. Jesus left that for the body to take his position. We are the body. He is the head. Amen. It all starts with God's presence. Praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise and worship. We are to execute the judgment. It's an honor. It's only the honor for his offsprings of the Spirit. Exodus 33. Verse 1, Exodus 33, let's speak it. Then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to a land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jezebites. Those are all the Nephilim races. What's he going to do? He's going to drive them out before us. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are still stiff-necked people. So God was doing it no matter what. Watch what he does over here. Go to Numbers 33, verse 50. Now the Lord said to Moses, in the plains of Moab by the Jordan. Is everybody there? Oh, okay. Across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. You shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller. In other words, Jubilee time. Jubilee time. And we're in Jubilee right now here. Again, it's our responsibility to drive out. That's why the Bible says, bind the strong man wherever you go. So what? You can infiltrate. Drive it out. And that should be a prayer of ours every day. Lord, wherever you send me today, I bind the strong man, that I may enter and plunder goods of the evil one. Deuteronomy 9:4. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It's not because of your righteousness or your unrighteousness, or uprightness, sorry, of your heart that you go in to possess their land. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God is fulfilling his promises. And that's what we're watching right now. He's fulfilling the promise. He is driving out these Nephilim offsprings out of the political, military, governmental, hospitals, clinics. Look how many people are addicted to pharmaceutical prescription medications. I can't tell you how many times we've gone into places and brought someone that was sick or whatever, and the first thing they offered them was fentanyl. Like, are you serious? You go to a clinic and they want to offer you fentanyl like it's candy. I mean, I have to get on their cases. What's the matter with you, man? And I know that they're required to do that. But they ought to find another job then. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Again, as a new creation in Christ, where old things are passing away and all things become new, it does not become new without a fight. It's happening constantly. You are living in it. It is a stream that constantly flows, and it's flowing against you. Why? Because it's taking of the old so that you can grab the new. So the old is being removed, and you're grabbing new. Why? You've got to fight against the stream, don't you? You have to fight against that current. And we're fighting against that current. Those that don't fight against that current go with the current. But you got to be careful, because in that current, in that river, the enemy sends notes. So you don't want to pick them up and read it, because if you agree with it, you become what he just sent you. See, you might be picking up somebody else's notes. As somebody else is getting rid of something, it might be coming to you. But you got to have wisdom. You got to fight. You don't pick up nothing. Hello? Just let it keep removing it. Keep pursuing your enemies. Keep pursuing those things. Everything is becoming new. When the new fulfills your home. Hello? Glory. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Let's speak it. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the what? Former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen, my people, my chosen. Drink of what? Not Southern Comfort. Hello? It's a river of life. Drink of the Spirit. Verse 21. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my what? Praise. My praise, giving him honor. Old passing away. That's the only way the new can be brought in. Without it. That's why sowing. Sowing in the Spirit when you're worshiping. Why is it so important to praise and worship? Because you're sowing in the Spirit, you're reaping life. And you got to empty that bank of all the things you've done in the flesh. God may forgive you, but you're still going to reap. People think, oh, God forgave me, I'm not going to reap. Baloney. You reap what you sow. Hello. Romans 8. But of course, the quicker you repent, the less you reap. The more you sow in the spirit, you empty the bank of reaping. Corruption reaping. Romans 8, verse 18. We need to invent a reaping meter so everybody knows where they're at. Probably be a big seller, you know. Hallelujah. The warrior reaping meter. Romans 8, 18. Let's speak it, please. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's that? Us. New creations. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he what? He sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also did what? Glorified. And I'm going to close at Isaiah 60. Maxed out. Collision course is all over. You're probably seeing a lot more accidents out there, too. Automobile accidents, all kinds of accidents. There's more. Because everything's at a collision course. So be careful when you're out there. You got to be alert. You got to be a defensive driver. Even though you're in a car, pretend you're driving a motorcycle. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Let's speak it. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Amen. The wealth of the Gentiles. Why? Because we're in Jubilee. You know, so many people, I'm going to just share this quickly. I'm not going to go into teaching or anything, but so many people believe that the Federal Reserve is a part of our government, which is not. It's a corrupt organization controlled by wealthy bankers. And the IRS is their strongman. It's their strong arm. But they're collapsing. It's going to be dismantled. I mean, remember one of the first things Jesus did. He went into the temple and kicked over the tables, the money changers. Why? Because he knew that that money, the love of money, was going to control many people. And the powers of darkness know that money controls people. For them, money is power. And it is power to them in the physical realm. Because they can do things other people can't. They can buy their way out of things that other people can't. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the price of Jesus. That might be their reward. But our reward is forever. Amen? So never envy. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and there's about to be a Holy Ghost shift and a transfer of wealth to the righteous. So hang tough. Keep pursuing. Don't give up. Remember, everything is becoming new, but you got to get rid of the old. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Lord, that the seed be protected by the blood and grow and bear fruit for your glory in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.